I've asked you to turn your Bible with me here this morning, if you would please, to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, and then verse 7. We come to the sixth and final message of this series, of this study, receiving or rejecting instruction and correction. Receiving, on the one hand, the book of Proverbs describes a group of individuals, a classification of individuals who receive well the instruction and correction of God, of God's Word, of God's Spirit, of God's servants, of just counselors and advisors that God might bring along the way. Instruction and correction is received well. On the other hand, the book of Proverbs presents to us the contrasting group, the contrasting classification of individuals who resist, reject, and rebel against that same instruction and correction in their lives. We began the first three messages considering the positive group, the book of Proverbs describing them as wise in heart, those who receive instruction and correction. And we considered how the book of Proverbs classifies them, the content of what they receive. We've considered the course of their reception of these things, that is, what it looks like when they receive them and how well they receive them and so forth. And then we consider the consequences of that reception. And then a couple of weeks back, we picked up on the opposite side of that, the negative group. And that is the negative group and what they are described as, how they are classified in the book of Proverbs. And then also what it is that they reject instead of receiving. And then the course of what it looks like in their rejection and how they behave in that manner of rejection. And finally, here this morning, we come to the sixth and final message. So three of them on the positive side, three on the negative. And this one will be the calamity of their rejecting that instruction and correction. Whereas there's reward and a positive consequence to those who receive such instruction and correction into their life, there is calamity for those who reject it. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 5, standing with me for the reading of God's Word. The Word of God says concerning the positive classification and the positive group, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. But verse number 7 gives the other side, the contrasting group. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And with that, we'll proceed with the message. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would guide us now here this morning as we take up this final message from the book of Proverbs and as we consider the negative consequence, yea, Lord, the calamity of destruction that comes into the lives of those who refuse, who reject, who rebel against positive, godly, righteous instruction and correction into their lives. And, oh Lord, I pray, help us as we encounter this teaching from the book of Proverbs to be awakened and maybe even convicted to those areas wherein we ourselves might be classed in this way and of the calamity that will come. May not come tomorrow or next week or even next month, but will certainly come into our lives if we continue down this path of rejecting this instruction and correction. Oh Lord, awaken us to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I've stated already, We have considered the classification that the book of Proverbs delivers concerning both positively those who receive instruction and correction and negatively those who reject instruction and correction into their lives. On the positive side, the book of Proverbs defines or describes or classifies those individuals who receive as the wise in heart, as a wise son, as those of understanding, as those who are prudent, as those who are righteous, the just man or the righteous man. The book of Proverbs on the opposite hand, and there are five classifications on the positive, five on the negative. On the opposite side, classifies those who reject instruction and correction as the foolish, the opposite of wise in heart. As the foolish son, the opposite of the wise son. As the scorner, the opposite of the man of understanding. As the wicked, the opposite of the man who is just and righteous. And as the brutish, that is literally the definition of brutish is to be as stupid as the animal or the cattle of the field. We use a different phrase today, being dumb as an ox. That's what the word brutish means. And the book of Proverbs uses that to describe those who reject instruction and correction, and that's the opposite of those who are prudent. Prudent or brutish? What do they receive? What do they reject? The wise in heart, they receive instruction. They receive correction. They receive commandments, the authority of commandment into their life. They receive counsel. Those who reject, on the other hand, reject the same as those that receive. They reject instruction. They reject correction. They reject counsel. And instead of the commandments, they reject discipline. They not only reject the commandments of authority into their life, but because of their disobedience to commandment, then comes discipline, and they even reject and rebel against that discipline in their lives. So what does it look like when those individuals, what's the course, what does it look like when an individual receives instruction and correction into their life? How will they behave? Well, they'll listen honestly and humbly. They'll grow in learning and wisdom. They'll follow wise counsels. They'll submit under authority. They'll change at valid correction. They will love those that give that valid correction. But on the other hand, what does it look like for the foolish to reject? How do they behave? They'll refuse and even despise wise instruction into their life. They'll ignore and even be deeply grieved by correction in their life. They'll hate those that give that correction. They'll hold to their own way with stubborn pride no matter what. They won't even listen to any other possibilities. And they'll never seek after the wise counsel of God, after the wise counsel of God's Word, or after the wise counsel of wise counselors. They'll not even go seeking after it. Well, what is the consequence, the positive consequence for those that receive instruction and correction? Well, they're adorned with beauty of character. They learn the truth and spirit of God's wisdom. They dwell safely from the fear of evil. They develop a close relationship with the Lord their God. They walk in every good path of righteousness. They are delivered from the way of the evil man. They're delivered from the temptation of sexual sin. They experience the blessings of the abundant life. They're rewarded by the blessing hand of the Lord. They're honored and favored both before God and men. But that brings us finally then to our final point, and that for us to consider this morning. What is the consequence, yea, the calamity of rejecting instruction and correction? We see the abundant blessings, the abundant consequence of blessing in the life of those that receive this instruction and correction. But the book of Proverbs also tells us there's an abundance of calamity in the life of those who reject it, those who stubbornly refuse it, those who rebel against it. In reality, the book of Proverbs lists a long list of blessings for those who receive, but just a short list repeated over and over and over again. Warned and admonished we are in the book of Proverbs over and over and over again that these four things will occur in the lives of those who reject instruction and correction. Number one, they will go astray from the Lord into unrighteous error and corruption. When an individual is walking the path of their own determination, and along comes one with the Word of God or God Himself or the Holy Spirit into the life in one form or another and says, listen, you need to, this is the right way, you need to walk in it. That's the wrong way, you need to stop walking in it. Correction, stop walking there. Instruction, start walking the right way. And an individual says, no, I don't want to hear that. I reject that. I rebel against that. I refuse that. I even despise that. The book of Proverbs says those individuals will continue going down the path of their own determination, and that path is the wrong way. The wrong way will lead further and further and further away from God. Whenever we get into our heart that stubborn determination to do it our own way, God says, now listen, you need to walk the right way. You need to walk according to God's path. You need to walk in the Word of God and its instruction. You need to learn what it says and follow in obedience to it. You need to let the Spirit of God direct your life. Whenever, in any case, and any time, we, in our hearts, because stubbornly determined, I'll do it my way. God's not going to own my life. I'm not listening to the Word. I'm not obeying the Word. I'm not listening to the Spirit. I'm not walking after the Spirit. I'm going to do it my way. This is what I want. Every time we get that attitude into our hearts about anything, we begin to walk in unrighteousness away from God. That's always the definition of the path of going astray. Going our own way. Doing our own thing. My will, not God's will. And every one of us in this room has that temptation every day. Every day there is that decision that must be made. And every day within that decision there is the temptation to choose wrong. Every day there's that decision and the Spirit of God pulls upon the heart and says, walk after God's will. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Walk after God's will. But every day there is the competing will. And what is it? God's will or my will. Jesus Christ there in the Garden of Gethsemane presented the right choice so wonderfully well when He said, not my will, but thine be done. However, the temptation is clearly there. Every time this comes up, every day the decision arises, and we can either say, not my will, thine be done, or we can say, not thy will, mine be done. Those that refuse God's instruction, and those that refuse righteous correction into their life, they are choosing their own way. And in choosing their own way, they will go astray from the Lord into unrighteous error and corruption. You cannot determine, you cannot rebel against God's way, determining to go your own way, and still have God walk with you. Look at Proverbs chapter 5, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse number 23. Talking about the wicked man, Proverbs chapter 5 verse 22 says, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Then verse 23 tells us that when his own sin takes a hold of him and binds him and chains him up, verse 23, he shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly shall he shall go where? Astray. See, here's what it is. The book of Proverbs says, those who reject or to reject instruction and correction in your life is the foolish choice. And in the folly of your foolish choice, you will go astray from God. You will. There is none of this, well, I'll do my own thing, but I'll also walk with God. You can't. It's not spiritually possible. There's a spiritual law here that God Himself set up. If you go your own way, you go away from God. If you go your own way, you go away from God. And it doesn't matter if you're religious. You can be very, very religiously faithful and still be going your own way and still be going away from God. In the folly of choosing your own way, you go astray from God. Look at chapter 10, verse number 17. Chapter 10 and verse number 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof, what does he do? He erreth. That is, he commits error. He goes in the way of error. He walks in the way of error. He drives down the way of error. He pursues the way of error. The direction he goes is error. goes astray from the Lord into unrighteous error and corruption. Chapter 15, verse number 32. He goes astray. Chapter 5, verse 23, that's from the Lord. He commits error. He goes astray from the Lord into unrighteous error. Chapter 15, verse number 32. The Word of God says, "He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul." This error that he goes down begins to be corruptive upon his own soul. The Word of God tells us in the New Testament, "He that soweth to his flesh, he that goes his own way, he that walks in the way of error, he that soweth to his flesh, reapeth corruption." Corruption where? In his own soul. It does damage and destruction to his own soul. Now, if he's a believer, if she's a believer, they'll not lose their eternal spiritual rebirth, their regeneration. They'll not lose heaven, but the corruption and destruction of their soul will still occur on this earth. So many a believer has gone in the way of error because so many believers have chosen, so many a believer has chosen their own way. Their own way initially, maybe even over a small matter. But when you choose your own way, it does not matter if it's a so-called big matter or a small matter. You're choosing away from God. And I would ask you this. For anyone to choose away from God, for anyone to choose to be astray from God, is that big or small? It's always big to walk away from God. It's always a big spiritual deal to walk astray from God. Always. And so we might say, "But this is a small thing in my life." No, it's not, because it's you walking away from God. It's you walking astray from God. It's you saying, "My will, not yours, God. You're not in my life." And I'm here to tell you, if you do that over one small thing, given time, you'll do it over more and more and more things, bigger and bigger and bigger things in your life. Why? Because the moment you walk away from God, you don't have the power anymore to say no to the flesh. So every new thing the flesh wants, the flesh begins to get. You're feeding the flesh, and the flesh gets more and more and more powerful. And over time, you have an individual who was somewhat faithful, who was somewhat this and somewhat that, and people thought right with the Lord, but they let one little thing go astray. And given eventual time, they're way over here saying, "I want nothing to do with the things of God at all anymore." Why? Well, that didn't happen overnight. It happened because somewhere in the past, one little thing, they chose their own way over God's. And that began to take hold in their life. And as we read that first passage in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, that wickedness of self-will began to grow up and bind them as ropes and take control and ownership, and now they cannot get free. Number two, they will experience distress, anguish, desolation, and shame. Those who refuse, those who reject, those who rebel against instruction and correction into their life will go astray from the Lord into unrighteousness and unrighteous error and corruption. And more and more down that road they go, the more they will begin to put themselves in a place to experience distress, anguish, desolation, and shame. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 24. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 23, personified wisdom of God's Word speaks, is personified in the book of Proverbs as a woman who calls to the men of the earth. In verse 20 it says, "Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" All of these are the groups that reject instruction and correction. How long will you continue that way? She says, "Quit! Turn you at my reproof. Behold, if you do, if you'll turn, if you'll repent at my reproof, Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. You'll become one of the wise in heart. But what if you do not? Verse 24. Those who reject, because I've called and you refused. Rejected, refused it, rebelled against it. Because I've called and you refused. I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you've set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. This will be the result when your fear cometh. Oh, down that road is coming distress and fear. It's coming. Is it here yet? Maybe not. But it's coming. When your fear cometh as desolation. Notice these words and how they build one upon another as the... I skipped a verse there too, didn't I? Verse 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Notice he doesn't say if. He says when your fear cometh. Distress is coming. It says, when your fear cometh as desolation, building upon building, to show how terrible this picture can get. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall you call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. The calamity is coming. Did you catch all the different terms of description? There he says in verse 25, your calamity, your fear. In verse 27, he repeats again, your fear, your desolation, your destruction, a whirlwind, distress, anguish. This all will come upon those who reject instruction and correction into their lives. Look at chapter 5 now, if you would. Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. This is actually in the midst of a... 11 through 14. This is in the midst of a context where Solomon, the instructor here, is instructing his son to avoid the strange woman and to avoid the sin of fornication. And he says, Solomon warns that if you refuse this instruction in your life, if you end up going down that road, this is going to be the end of that road. This will be the result. He says in verse number 11, and thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof? Back earlier in my life, I was instructed not to do this. But I began to go down that road anyway. And so some came along and not only instructed and not only counseled, but they began to admonish, they began to warn, they began to correct, they began to reprove. And I refused it all and I rejected it all and I stubbornly rebelled against it all. And now at the latter end of my life, I look back and I say, why did I not listen? Why did I not listen? Verse 13, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. The evil of shame and the evil of anguish and the evil of distress and the evil of desolation and the evil of destruction has come upon me as a whirlwind, has come upon me as flood waters, and is overwhelming me. Why did I not listen back when I was younger? Experienced distress, anguish, desolation, and shame. Chapter 13, verse 18. Chapter 13 and verse number 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. Poverty and shame. See, you know, the devil will tell the individual, oh, please, come on. Look at life. Look at where you're at. You're enjoying everything. You're enjoying the pleasures of sin. You're having a great time. You're having a fun time. Doing it your own way is living it up. The world says, get a life. Live it up. But living it up is going away from God, and living it up is going away into error, and living it up is ultimately the broad road that leads to destruction. The devil hooks you with the temptation that says, look at how fun it is. Look at how enjoyable it is. This is living. This is living it up. But the devil will never tell you. He'll never tell you what the end of those things is. God's the one who seeks to tell you that. He seeks to warn you. He seeks to admonish you. He seeks to alert you. He seeks to bring you to the awareness that says, yeah, it may be pleasure now. It may be enjoyment now. It may be living it up now. But it will not stay that way. That's only for a season. And that season will end. And what you have sown in that season, you will reap. And you will reap anguish. And you will reap corruption. And you will reap destruction. And you will reap distress. And you will reap the whirlwind. You will. I know, there's many, many that say, oh, come now. We can get away with it. Others are getting away with it. We can get away with it. You never get away with it. You live your life for yourself. You will pay for it. There's always a payday. Always. Number three. The calamity of rejecting instruction and correction. Number one, you'll go further and further astray from the Lord into unrighteous error and corruption. Number two, you'll experience distress, anguish, desolation, and shame. Number three, you will not be able to reverse the consequences of foolishness. You will not be able to reverse the consequences of foolishness. Go back to chapter one. Chapter 1, verse 24. Let me read there again. It says, because I've called, this is God's wisdom, has called to the men of the earth. She has called to the simple. She has called to the scorner. She has called to the foolish. She has called them to quit the wrong way, to turn from their wrong way, and to repent of it, and to listen to her, and learn from her, and follow her way, the way of God's truth, the way of God's wisdom. Follow that way. But those who refused and those who rejected and those who rebelled against it, because I have called, she says, and ye refused. I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Then I will not answer. Now I would answer, then I will not. They shall seek me early, then, but they shall not find me then. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. I want you to understand what this is talking about, if I may. Wesley, up here for a moment. Boy, I'd also like a second volunteer, and this volunteer will represent the whirlwind. Doug, you want to represent the whirlwind? All right. Doug is the whirlwind. All right, now Wesley's over here right now. Doug, you're over there. You're off in the distance. You haven't even fully got spinning yet. Yeah, all right. Yeah. The whirlwind's not really, it's not really moving yet. It's off in the distance, possibly. There's warning signs, but here's Wesley, and he's determined to go his own way. And God comes into his life, with the Word of God. God comes into his life with the Spirit of God. God comes into his life by the minister of the Lord, by the preacher of the Lord, by wise counselors into his life. It says, you need to stop going that way. This all is the voice of God's wisdom speaking to him and says, turn you at my reproof. If you do, my Spirit will come upon you and I'll teach you the Spirit of wisdom and you'll walk in a new way and you'll walk in the right way and you'll walk in the way of God's blessing upon your life. But Wesley says, nah, I don't want that. I don't want that. I refuse that. I reject that. I rebel against that. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in the Word. I'm not interested in its truth. I'm not interested in God. I'm not interested in His Spirit. I'm not interested in church, in the place where God's truth may be found. I'm not interested in the preacher or the Word of God communicating God's Word into my life. I'm not interested in the people God has placed in my life, authorities and counselors to tell me the right way. I'm not interested. I don't want any of that. I don't want it. Leave me alone. I don't want it! Every time he says, I don't want it, he gets further and further down the road. And further down the road and further down the road. But see, God tells him, see, in all this time that he's going further down the road, he thinks he's living it up. He's getting to do what he wants. He's getting to enjoy his own will. He's getting to pursue his own interests. He's just living it up! You know, living for God is not the same as living it up. Not the way that the world defines those terms, right? You get to choose. Live for God, live it up. Live it up, the world's definition of that is live for yourself. Live for today, live for yourself, live in whatever is pleasurable and enjoyable to you. But living for God says deny yourself. Live for God. He says, I don't want that. I'm going to live it up. I'm going to live for myself. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm going to make my choices, my decisions. And God all the time says, turn you, listen. If you keep going down that road, the whirlwind's coming, calamity is coming, destruction is coming, shame and anguish is coming, distress is coming. And he plugs his ears and just continues toward that path all the time saying, it'll be fine. I'll be fine. It'll be fine. I'll be fine. I'm enjoying life. Don't mess with me, preacher. I'm enjoying life. You don't know what you're talking about, preacher. I'm living it up. You don't have a clue. This is living. And then the whirlwind comes. And begins to beat on him. It begins to tear him down and brings the calamity and brings the destruction and brings the distress. And at that time, as he is crumbling to the ground in the whirlwind, he begins to cry out and says, oh, wisdom of God, help me! Now all that time, the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God's Word, the wisdom of God's Spirit had been speaking into his life and saying, turn you, go a different way. This is the right way, walk ye in it. You know, the children of Israel had this same problem, didn't they? How many times did God send His prophets into their life to preach, turn you at my reproof. This is the right way. Walk ye in it. And they said, we don't want that. They kept going their own path and going their own path. And so God sent the prophets of God into their life and began to say, if you stay down this road, Assyria is coming. If you stay down this road, Babylon's coming. If you stay down this road, calamity is coming. If you stay down this road, destruction is coming. And they said, you don't know what you're talking about. And the false preacher said, peace, peace. And God said, nuh-uh. War, distress. But the spirit of the devil and the spirit of the devil's ministers kept saying, no, you're living it up. You're enjoying it. You're having fun. Peace, peace. This is life. This is living. This is wonderful. God just wants to take away all of the goodness out of your life. And God keeps saying, no, turn. Turn. You're heading to destruction. Turn. Turn. You're heading to destruction. Turn. Turn. You're heading to destruction. And finally, the destruction falls. Now he cries out to the wisdom of God and says, wisdom, wisdom, help me. Wisdom, show me the right way. Wisdom, deliver me. Wisdom, show me what I need to do to get out of this. And Proverbs chapter 1 says, when this finally happens, When he refuses and rejects and rebels and refuses and rejects and rebels and refuses and rejects and rebels and refuses and rejects and rebels, and he gets all the way down to the road until the whirlwind begins to beat on him and tear on him and rip him into the ground. Yeah, that's right. When the calamity comes, and then he cries out and then he says, "Help me. Give me some hope. Give me some light. Give me some deliverance from us." God's wisdom, what does it say God's wisdom does? Laughs at him. Mocks him. Now, Proverbs chapter 1 is not teaching us that God lacks grace. That's not what it's teaching us. What it is teaching us is that once you come this far down the road, you cannot escape reaping what you've sown. You can't get here, cry out, and then say, "Now I'll receive wisdom just so I don't have any reaping. I've sown," you know, the whole idea, "I'll live for myself in the early years, then I'll live for God in the latter years, and everything will be okay." No, it won't. And the reason it won't is because what you reap, you sow. You say, no, you misunderstand, preacher. You see, I'll sow to the flesh for 20 years, but then I'll repent of it all, and God will forgive it all, and there won't be any consequences for the next 20, 30 years. I'll serve God, and everything will be okay because I repented of it. No! You'll repent of it, and you'll receive the forgiveness of God, and you'll receive the grace of God, but you will still reap for 20 years of sowing to the flesh. And you can't escape the reaping. Will you still receive God's grace? Yes, wonderfully so. Amen? Because God's grace is always wonderful. You will. You'll receive the wonderful grace of God. You'll receive the wonderful mercy of God. You'll receive the wonderful forgiveness of God. But you won't escape reaping what you've sown. You sow to the flesh for a year, expect to reap a year's worth of corruption. You sow to the flesh for 10 years, expect to reap. You sow to the flesh for 20, for 30, for 40, expect to reap. Can you repent and get right with God? How many of us have repented and gotten right with God from times of that? Will you experience the grace of God? Yeah, because then you begin to walk with God and begin to sow to the Spirit and begin to see God's grace sown in the field and growing up over the corruption. But you cannot completely escape the reaping of corruption. You can't. And the longer you sow to the flesh, the more you need to expect that reaping of calamity of the whirlwind in your life. And that's what he means in Proverbs 1. Thank you, fellows. You can have a seat. At this stage, you can repent. At this stage, you can turn at the reproof. At this stage, you can have the spirit of wisdom in your life. But the further down this road you go, the closer to the calamity you get, the closer to the whirlwind you get. And when the whirlwind strikes, there is no hope to deliver yourself from that reaping. There's a way to deliver yourself from the sin. There's a way to receive forgiveness and grace. But the corruption that you reap will happen. And even many a believer who's walking with God now and is a wonderfully faithful believer now can tell you, "There were years I walked from God. And I still have scars from those years. From when the whirlwind came down. From when the calamity came down. There's still scars." To this day, your pastor has scars and terribly regrets. 6 years of bitterness in his teen years where he threw away a walk with God. And to this day, some of those scars are still with you. Why? You said that was your 6 years. That was your teen years. I mean, come on. The teen years are the years to sow your wild oats. Well, okay. Sow your wild oats in your teen years. Then expect in your 20s and 30s to reap them. Do we have to sow wild oats in our teen years? No, we don't have to. We can serve God in elementary school, and we can serve God in the teen years, and we can serve God in the 20s, and we can serve God in the 30s, and we can serve God in our 40s, and we can serve God in our 50s, and we can serve God when we reach whatever they call the senior years. And if you happen to live into your 200s and 300s, you can still be serving God. Amen. Enoch served God to the point where after hundreds of years of walking with God, he just walked with God right into heaven. You can serve God. You can serve God from the beginning to the end. You don't have to sow wild oats, but I'm here to tell you, you sow wild oats, you'll reap the calamity. You'll reap the distress, you'll reap the anguish, you'll reap the shame, and you'll not be able to reverse the consequences of your foolishness. Receive forgiveness, yes. Receive God's grace going forward, yes. Reverse consequences? No, those scars will still be there. And many of those scars will be very painful, and some of that pain will never go away. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself. That's a descriptive, like there's a battle going on, a war between two individuals. There's the wicked man, and what he's battling against is his own iniquities. The iniquities that he chose, the iniquities of self-determination, of self-will, of self-direction in his life, have grown up to become an enemy in his life, called calamity, called the whirlwind. And now he's at war with it. Now he's engaged in battle against it. The problem is that it's more powerful than him. Your own sin will become more powerful than you are and will actually bind you. Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 22 tells us, this one verse tells us that all sin is addictive. That eventually, whatever sinful path you choose and stay on will grow until it owns you and controls you. And that's the definition of an addiction, isn't it? You say, the reason I'm living it up for myself and not serving God is because God wants to control my life. He wants to own my life. He wants to control me. He doesn't want to allow me freedom to do my own thing. Well, I'm here to tell you, you choose your own thing and eventually your own sin will control your life and your own sin will own your life and you won't be any more free then than you would be if you served God. Although, in reality, if you serve God, you are free. Because you're free to reach the place of reward. Whereas if you choose sin, you may be free to choose it now, but you won't be free to choose the path, the place of reward, because you will end up in calamity. You will end up in destruction, and you won't be able to escape. Last and finally, there's going astray from the Lord in unrighteous error and corruption. The further down that path, the closer to experience distress, anguish, desolation, and shame. And you will not be able to reverse the consequences of that foolishness. And eventually, the final end, you'll be destroyed suddenly without remedy. If you continue to refuse through all of this, you'll be destroyed suddenly, and that without remedy. Chapter 1, verse 32. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Chapter 10, verse 8. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Chapter 13, verse 13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. Chapter 15, verse number 10, the second half. And he that hateth reproof shall die. Chapter 19, verse 16. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that despiseth his ways shall die. Chapter 29 and verse number 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That's the path of rejecting instruction and correction. Are there any on that path right now here in this room this morning? I dare say that it's very possible. It's very possible. It's possible that it's not obvious to anyone else, save the Lord, obviously. It's possible that it's a small matter in the heart that is hidden away and others do not know. But that matter of saying, my will, not your will, God, that's all it takes. That's the beginning. That's all it is that will lead down this path to finally be described by these verses, suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. Now, it's your choice. Just like there's many lost individuals in this world today who say, I don't want anything to do with God, and I don't want anything to do with God's gospel, and I don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ, and that one way. I'll do it my own way, and I'll live it up my own way. I'm not going to give my life to God. I'm not going to trust Him as my Savior. I'm not going to choose Him as the Savior and Lord of my life. I'll do it my own way. And one day they'll end up in the ultimate calamity called hell. And when that sudden destruction comes upon them, there'll be no remedy. There'll be no way out. There'll be no relief. Now, they can choose it. And they can choose it their whole lifetime. But what they won't be able to do is reverse the consequences. And you and I, as believers in the room today, we can choose our own path too. We can say, God, You saved me. I'm one of Your children. That's fine, but I'm not serving You. I'm not living my life for You. I'm living my life for me. And you can choose that path, and you can keep walking down that path, and you can continue to refuse and reject and rebel against instruction and correction in your life, and just keep bullying down that path. But eventually the calamity will fall, and that without remedy. And you won't escape. It will come. The preacher's message this morning is, turn away. Amen? Turn away from that path. There are others here this morning that might say, I walked that path for a time. I have the scars. I've experienced the whirlwind. I know what the calamity is. It's not worth it. Payday's not worth it. Turn aside now. Don't wait until it's too late. Amen? Don't wait. Turn aside now. Get on the right path now. Whatever age you are. Some of you say, well, preacher, I'm a goodly bit older than you. Okay, fine. Walk the right path now. For whatever's remaining of your life, walk it now. Amen? Some of you think I'm ancient. Doug back there is getting a little old even. But he still thinks I'm ancient. Oh, he's starting to get to the point where he's wondering, maybe Pastor's not quite as old as I once thought he was, you know? Yeah, that's true. There's no doubt about that. I'm still short. That's never going to change. And then, probably when I'm in heaven, I'll still be short. My new body in heaven will still be short. But the truth is, whatever age you are, younger than preacher, older than the preacher, whatever age you are, live for the Lord from this point forward. Amen? If you have been, stay on the path. If you haven't been, get on it. Turn from the wicked way. Turn from self-will. Let God have His way in your life. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, that's really what all six of these messages have been driving toward. Let God have His way. Let godly instruction and godly correction have its way. And Lord, I just pray that those who've been under the sound preaching of the Word of God would now submit to it and not rebel against it. In Jesus' name, amen.